It is the last stop before you're a nobody. And for all of these years, it's nitty-gritty ministry that is alive and well today, thank God. And Walt and Louine Rite have been faithful servants of the Most High. They continue to go on. I don't think retirement is in Brother Walt's vocabulary, but we're so thankful to be able to partner with these folks, and I'm not going to steal certainly his thunder, but they've been around and continue to be around to do God's work here in this city. And I want you to give Brother Rite a great North Valley Assembly of God welcome to this pulpit. If you'd come, my good brother, praise the Lord. Bless you. Just bless you. Have your liberty. Take your liberty, all right.
Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. Amen. Now, this church is something else. I mean, I'm more than impressed. Man, you got a pastor. I mean, he's fired up. You know, I believe you guys are just letting God be God. What else is it really all about? Amen. And once we let Him have His way, man, He fires us up. He stirs us up. You know, to me, there's nothing better when you're serving God, that power is stronger in you, everybody listen, than the power of sin that so easily has beset us all. Is that making sense, everybody, to me? And man, we see a lot of the people out in the street. Oh, Lord says, you can't believe. This church is exciting. You know why? Because I'm being so encouraged here by the Spirit of God. Bunch of old people like us. Man, I'm telling you what, you're bouncing off the wall. No, that's the truth. You know, it's got to be. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. It's got to be the Spirit of God that does it. Amen? And it seems to me, when we finally submit and let God have His way, He knows what to do. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you will do what Jesus wants you to do if you know it's Him? Now, a lot of people talk, and I'm a street preacher. A lot of people talk, but there's a difference between talking and doing. Talk's cheap, whiskey costs money. Remember, I'm a street preacher. But I believe so many of you in here, you're doing what God's chosen you to do. You're glorifying Him. You're letting the Holy Spirit work in you. And that's what fires us up. At least it fires me up. Amen? Man, you know, I've been kind of battling. I had to cancel the jail service this morning to come here. And your dear pastor has been trying to, you know, ask us to come, but we keep so busy. We got so many things going. But I'm glad. You know, I'm thinking, man, I got to cancel jail service to go to a church. And I'm not a pulpit preacher. Although, I'm going to kind of give a little testimony. I said, God, I don't even know how to talk. I said, like Moses? What did Moses say? God, I don't even know how to talk. Well, that's what I feel like. But then here's what I want to really communicate. And I hope this works in all of our lives. It's not us that does it. It's God. Man, I've been around so many people that got the gift of gab. Man, they're tremendous in communicating. Amen? But what happens? It's an intellectual thing. It's a human thing. And it's got to be the Spirit of God. Is that true in you and in me? So, I just want to kind of share a little bit. You know, when I was growing up, I always had a passion in my heart. What is life really all about? Have you ever had anything like that in your life? Now, have you ever found out what life is really all about? And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, unless you sell out, like we're talking, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 1:22. You know what that says? Anybody know what that says? Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Do what? You're deceiving your own self. In all my life, I'm trying to, God, I want the truth. I just want to find out what life is really all about. What is it, Lord? Not Lord, but by the way, I was kind of raised in church. My mom was Catholic. She was saved. She was a Christian. She really, really loved the Lord. And I'd go to church with her every once in a while. I knew all about God, but I never made a commitment to Him. But I didn't know you were supposed to make a commitment to Him. I always believed in Him, but I never made that commitment. Now, I'm preaching what God wants me to preach. How many of us, we love Jesus, we've never really gut level made a commitment to Him to do what He wants us to do? Possibly because of fear. And my friend, that's not a put down. I think what's happening to us, if we don't allow God to be God, we're holding back and not really understanding who God is, what He's really all about, and how He wants to use us, minister to us, encourage us, and fulfill us. And only He can do it, but we've got to let go. I'm sitting down there and I'm thinking, now what am I going to talk about? But God, I'm going to go up here. If I make a fool out of myself, fine. But if you don't give me the words, well, then it ain't going to work anyway. And He has. Amen? Now, what's the Bible? You know, when Jesus first came, well, you know, He was born and He was raised. And then He first got into ministry and He was tempted in the desert, you know, out in the wilderness for quite a while, 40 days and 40 nights. You know what the first thing He started preaching? The very first thing, Matthew, I think it's, 4:17? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that right? Then He's walking on the beach. He sees the boys, Peter, James, John, you know, and they were fishermen. You know, the very next thing He says, anybody want to know the next thing He said? Or do you want not know? Some of us, hey, you ever feel like tearing pages out of the Bible? Just tear it out of the Bible. In fact, I tell a lot of people, hey, if you don't want to do it, just tear that out of the Bible. You know, the very next thing He says, follow Me. I'll make you fishers of men. Now, I'm sure there's many ways of being fishers of men, and I believe what you guys are doing is tremendous, supporting people, you know. But there's still something He puts inside each and every one of us, is to share this wonderful good news with other people. Now, to me, if God said it, then He's going to have to work in me to put the passion, the want to in me to do it. Is that right? Well, this is so interesting. I was kind of a misfit when I grew up. I was a rebellious little old cuss. Anybody ever been that? I had a great mother. I mean, I couldn't believe how great she was. She used to tell me, son, you can be so good for so long. And then, you know, I guess that old you comes out in you. And so when I'm trying to figure out how to communicate this. All my life, I said, okay, what is the answer? It's not in the church. Even though I went to church, because I saw too many people in churches not doing, they were talking. And, you know, I'm very impressionable. They're talking, but they're not doing it. And I said, okay, fine. I believe in God. And you know, then I said, you know what, when I get about 50 years old or so, then I'll be ready to serve God. Right now I got too much to do. I got to go out and get drunk. I got to go do this. I got to do that. Amen. Just running and gunning. Anybody ever feel like that? But you see, how many believe that God is still leading us, guiding us? He's got a plan for us. And it's a matter, will we listen, we submit? And I don't care how old you are. How old do you think I am? Next April I'll be 84. And I'm telling you, it's the fight, it's the passion that God, you know, there's so many, we're people, older people. There's times you're so tired you just can't do this. But that passion, that what God puts in your heart is truly, truly unbelievable, and it motivates you. Last night, we got a little old bus, and I got about six people. We're discipling people and everything. We decided we got 104 hot dogs. We got a big tray, and this is how they all fit in there. Just little pans and everything, you know. And we take some water. We'll take tracks. Man, we pass out tracks. Thousands. In fact, last fair, we passed out, 8,000 tracks. Standing out, right in front of the fairground, just people coming out. Man, we're preaching. Man carried a cross. Another guy across the street with a PA system preaching. We got a whole bunch of guys with signs. I got my sign, Bible in one hand, Jesus loves everybody in the other. We're saying, and it's just really, really neat. Because this seems to be the passion that God has put, at least in my heart. And I believe, because of the way I was raised and what I had in mind, I gotta be what I was created to be. But like I said, I knew about God, but it, you know, it didn't work. I didn't sell. I didn't know, you know. How many know that you got to give your life to Christ? It's not just going to church and being religious. It's a relationship. Amen. Now I'm going to change a little bit. God gave me a little plan, but I'm going to change a little bit. Well, to make a long story short, when I first got saved, I was in metaphysics, New Age, you know, all this kind of stuff, because I didn't believe the church, whatever. And I went to a white light healing service. I thought it was a metaphysical thing, and it was a church service. And I saw a fat preacher in a three-piece suit. Not our friend, no. And I walked in the door, and I said, oh, my God, what am I? I didn't know God. Oh, my God, what did I get myself into? But I saw something, my friend. I saw it here today. I saw radiance in people, musicians who were doing praise and worship. And I said, what are you guys on? Thinking, man, what is it? You know, afterward, they, you know, conduct offices. They said, Jesus. I said, oh, come on. They said, did you ask us? And I said, yeah. They said, Jesus. Well, you know, you can't come to God unless God puts a desire in your heart. Well, that night, when I saw them, it's kind of like I said, God, you give me what they got. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this church. I'm telling you. Man, just people, the radiance, the love of the peace, it just flows. And see, you can see, it's not somebody trying to show off. It's us just being what God wants us to be. How many can be what God wants you to be if you know it's Him? I believe that's the key. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. It's what's the passion? What's God put in your heart? What's He wants you to do? Well, that night I said, God, if you can give me what those people got, I'll never back down. That was over 49 years ago, and I ain't backed down since. Now, this is how, I sold out. And when I sold out that night, my whole life was changed. The very next day, I had a whole bunch of metaphysical friends. Man, we were sold out. The metaphysical, you know what I'm talking about, spiritualism and all this kind of stuff. And we believed in Jesus as a teacher, tremendous, but not God. The very next day, I'm telling all my medical, all my friends, who I'm, you know what I'm talking about, I have trouble talking. I'm saying, Jesus is Lord. You see, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. First of all, you repent. Well, I repented, then he changed me. It's unbelievable. And the next thing you know, I'm preaching Jesus. I guess the Apostle Paul, man, he's going to help men in one direction. God knocked him to the ground. Jesus did, you know. And Paul says to Saul, Lord, what would you have me to do? He says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. Why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you doing it the wrong way? Can I ask you a question? How many of us are doing it the wrong way? We all do it a little bit. You understand what I'm talking about? But you know what Paul did? He sold out. He went from one direction to the other direction. And that night, when I turned my life over to Jesus, I sold out. Truly, truly, truly. I had just gone through a divorce. A couple years later, got back to the remarriage. She's sitting right here. She's coming up. She's going to share at the very end. And see what I'm talking about? Just God just makes everything fit. Makes everything work. Okay, to make a long story short, by the way, when I was a young man, my dad, he was kind of a character. He put a little fight in me. We went to L.A. We live in California, but about 50 miles north of L.A. And I heard a bad preacher on the street about Jesus. Going to all the world, preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be damned. I'm thinking, hey, I hated that. I said, if I ever want to get saved, I'll go to church. I don't want to come out here in the street and listen to some old crazy man preach. If there's anything I ever do, it won't be that. You know, that was the truth. I meant it. And even after I got saved, I was sold out. I was going around passing out tracts. And the little church I went to, there were priests on the street. But guess what? No! I wouldn't do it. But I still kept saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do, but not that. I mean, I didn't realize how God worked and, you know, really the plan. I just said I'd do what he wanted to do. Well, to make a long story short, about a year later, they had a conference in Prescott. And all they did, it was just classes in the morning, lunch, classes in the afternoon. And a lot of the people in the afternoon went down to the square and they preached on the street. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday night it hit me so hard. I says, you know what? I got to go down there and see. Again, it's been years. I got to go down there and see it. I went down there and sure enough, same thing. Nope. I love your preacher. Listen to this. I saw a preacher there. He had a church in Wickenburg. He'd been there for years. Tremendous pulpit preacher. I said, Pastor, what's the matter? He says, I'm afraid to get up there and preach on the street. I said, what? You preach in the church? No, and you left it. I said, those guys ain't got no notes in front of them. I mean, you know, they're just getting up there preaching. Then all of a sudden I said to him, I said, okay. I've only been saved a year. You get up there and I'll do it. Guess what? He didn't do it. I said, okay, I'll do it. Come on. I went after it and I got him to do it. Now, God is able to work in you to accomplish anything. Then I started cracking up when I did it. I said, God, you did it to me again. You got me to a white light healing service. You got me saved. I said, I never preached in the street, and you got me doing that. Amen. Very next day, well, I came back to Phoenix, our little church back there. And I said, Pastor, God's calling me to preach on the street. I need one of those little mini PAs they have. And he says, okay. Go get it. I said, Pastor, I need one of those. He said, yeah, go get it. I said, mean me buy it? He said, make a long story short, I did. I went and got it. And next thing you know, a preacher on the street, right outside of a bar. And a priest said, God loves you guys. He's got a plan for you. Come on now, guys. The answer is Jesus. I know I was a drunk. He changed. Oh, by the way, I was an alcoholic. Now, I really want you to catch this. But I was a functioning alcoholic. I could work, and I did work. But I had the problem was, I don't know, is anybody, I don't want this, don't raise your hand. Is anybody here ever blacked out from drinking or drugs? Everybody know what I'm talking about? You drink a lot and you lose consciousness. And then you do some crazy stuff. I mean bad stuff. I used to badmouth people. Oh, you can't believe it. In fact, my mom kicked me out of the house one night. Said, you can't stay with me anymore. But what I realized, hey, I'm a drunk. I'm an alcoholic. I can't quit. And look what I'm doing. That night I turned my life over to Jesus. I forgot all about drinking. For 2 weeks, I didn't have a desire. 2 weeks later, I got a desire, and I said, God. Now here, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You're no longer under the law. You're under the grace of God. Now, he set me free, but then I had a temptation to drink. But it didn't have any power anymore. And I didn't drink. I've been sober for 49 years. I never blacked out. No, I had 6 DUIs. No more DUIs. Because of what God has changed me. Okay. We're just getting started, aren't we? My wife's saying, hurry up. Okay. To make it a long story short, that night we went, got a bunch of people, went out in the street and started preaching across the street from a bar. And these guys come out of that bar ready to tear us up. I mean, you know. And I said, God, I've been in bars all my life. I know how they're doing. If it's going to get on, it's going to get on. But what is your will? I said, if they tear us up. They came across and said, what are you guys doing? We're telling you that God's got a better plan for you. He'll change you. He'll take this out of you. That's what he did to me. They went back in, you know, no problem. Went out the next night, same thing happened. Man, they were madder the next night. But it just seemed like, okay, well, here's what I'm saying. But God put it in my heart. Hey, somebody's going to get hurt if you keep doing this. So go someplace else and preach. So the next thing you know, I'm down preaching on the streets of Phoenix, getting all these homeless people, you know, I'm preaching to them, to make a long story short. Been doing it for a while. Next thing you know, hey, what happened to Joe? Well, Joe's in jail. Joe's in jail? Oh, my land. Well, how do I see Joe? Well, here, go to jail. So I went to jail, Towers Jail, and I saw Joe. How's it going, man? He says, pretty good. I said, you guys have anything in Christianity here? Or service or anything? He says, yeah, we got a little bit. So I went to the chaplain. I said, hey, how could we get a service started in here? And they said, well, we got people doing it, but we'll keep you in mind. So the guy that was doing it left. Next thing you know, we got services in jail. By the way, that jail, I was supposed to be there this morning. I wasn't there this morning. That was 1986. We've been preaching in jail since all this time. So next thing you know, Joe gets out of jail. And he goes to prison. Follow Joe out to prison. Joe, how do we get service started out here? Chaplain, he let us have service. And the next thing, we had a Sunday morning service going out there many, many, many times. And we've been a man out there. And he's sitting here right now. And this was 1987. And God has touched him, changed him. I'm going to let him come up and share. Come on, here. Ready?
So I've known Pastor Walt since 1987, so 38 years, a long time. And he says he's not a good talker. And surprise, he talks by his walk. That's how Pastor Walt talks. He talks by showing you what needs to be done. For 14 years, Pastor Walt visited me in prison. 14 years. Almost every single Tuesday, he was out there at Perryville visiting me. And that week after week, month after month, year after year, until I got out of prison. And that 14 years, he was there to encourage me, to provide direction, to provide guidance. You know, seeing not only Pastor Walt, but other volunteers from Church on the Street as well. People like Moses and Betty Brown, that were just absolutely incredible people. They inspired me and showed me what the Christian walk was about. And so when I was there, I said, I've made a mess of my life, a catastrophe. Here I am serving this long prison sentence. And I ended up serving 18 and a half years in prison. Got out in 2001. But while I was in prison, I just said, you know what? I need to be ready so that when I get out, I'm a changed person. So I began studying the Bible. Pastor Walt inspired me to really get into the Word of God. And I used what little money I had, 30 cents an hour, 35 cents an hour, to buy Christian books. Like, my first one was Jensen's Survey of the New Testament. I can still remember it. And I remember working my way through that book. And it just inspired me to learn more and more and more. And so I had the opportunity to take some college classes at the prison. I ended up getting an associate's degree in computer technology. And then God opened the door for me to start taking correspondence classes for Moody Bible Institute. I actually met the president of the external studies division. He came out here to Arizona and took over one of the Christian ministries here. He actually came and spoke at Church on the Street, Dr. Brent Garrison. And I went through that entire curriculum, ended up getting an Associate of Biblical Studies degree. Then God opened the door for me to work on a bachelor's degree in Christian education from North Central University. It used to be called North Central Bible College. I ended up getting that. Pastor Walton Church on the Street helped me a little bit because I was just saving my money to pay for those classes out of, you know, the earnings that I had. I was a chaplain's clerk for many years in prison, and then I was a GED tutor, so I was helping people improve their education. I was released in 2001, and so I've been out 24 years, and I have been at Church on the Street ever since. I've had the opportunity to speak at a lot of different churches throughout the valley and in other places as well. And there have been opportunities, I think, that sort of presented themselves, that if I wanted to pursue full-time Christian ministry at another church, I believe that God would have opened that door. But I couldn't. Pastor Walt was the one who was there for 14 years. And that's what he's done and what he has inspired so many people in jail, in prison, out on the streets. He's been doing this ever since I've known him, 38 years, and he is still doing this. Day after day, out in the streets, witnessing to people, giving people an opportunity to come into Church on the Street and get their lives turned around. The call on Pastor Walt's life and the mission statement of Church on the Street, which is the mission statement of Pastor Walt, is winning and building people. Winning and building people. Fancy terminology, evangelism and discipleship. For Pastor Walt, it's not enough to win people to the Lord. You have to disciple them. And he's poured 38 years of his life into me. I can only imagine that people like Titus and Timothy felt that way about the Apostle Paul, that I feel about this man here. He's been an example to me, an inspiration to me, and to so many people that have come through Church on the Street, and their Church on the Street is to this day in the jails and prisons, offering an opportunity for people getting out of prison. Say, get out, get into our discipleship program, develop a close relationship with the Lord, learn about God's Word, go out and do the work of the ministry. And through that, you will get out of yourself, Pastor Walt tells us, and you'll learn what it means to serve other people. You'll be able to put other people first, which is what God has ultimately called us to do. And so, for these 24 years, I've been a pastor at Church on the Street, a volunteer pastor, because I've had a full-time job, and then I do this on the side because, well, Church on the Street is an inner-city ministry. We don't have a big congregation like you guys have. It's pretty much homeless people and people out of jail and prison. So, you know, you got to do a bivocational thing like the Apostle Paul did. That's what he did for years and years and years. He was making tents in various cities that he visited. He visited Corinth, set up a shop in the Agora, in the marketplace in Corinth, and he did business there for two years approximately, and he built a church there. And then he wrote letters to those people. Then he went to Ephesus. He spent 4 years there. So he's traveling around and doing that. And that's what I've learned from Pastor Walt and Church on the Street. It's been a blessing being a part of this ministry. And thank you for your support for Church on the Street for all of these years. Because without your support, he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing. And the blessing wouldn't have flowed to people like myself and the literally thousands and thousands of people who have been through the Church on the Street discipleship program. God bless all of you.
Hey, he's pretty smart. He got a lot of degrees. He learned Hebrew and Greek while he was in prison. I mean, very, very sharp. I walked up to him one day and I said, "Man, you ain't so smart." He said, "What do you mean?" He had a young lady visiting him every Sunday for 10 years. I said, "If you're smart, you'd marry that woman." Stand up. I got a chance to marry them while they were in prison. And, you know, it's just, my friend, there's nothing, to me, you just got to let God be God. You don't know what's going to happen, how to do anything. You just let God be God. He's working in people. I get to be, you know, I could walk up to somebody and I'll say, "Hey, what do you think about Jesus, honestly?"
"I love him."
"Okay." And you'd be utterly amazed, especially homeless people. They would shock you. Now, they've never really, a lot of them made the commitment, but they would shock you. They're looking for the answers, too. So, you know, the neatest thing is, we get to go out and preach to them and everything else. Then there's an organization that called me and they said, "Hey, could you help us? We want to feed people." I said, "Sure." So we start busing people in to this place every day, Monday through Friday, in the morning and the afternoon. And, man, we get a chance to preach. In fact, it's a church. Basically, it is a church. Amen? And then we got some young lady. "Marilyn, are you here?" "Where are you? Come on up here." She's been coming down there. I'm telling you. And, man, she gets some music going, and she's giving coffee out. And what's on your heart?
I'll warn you, if you go to Church on the Street, you're going to be put on the spot. Pastor Walt is a master at that. I've been going down on Wednesday afternoons, and I had to take a leave of absence because of my shoulder. But during that time, it was like I missed it. You get to visit with the folks and help serve them, and it's just wonderful. This morning on my way to church, the Lord dropped this phrase in my heart, and I had to ask Pastor Scott and Pastor Jamie where it was located, because the Lord does that every once in a while. He'll bring to your remembrance a phrase that you've heard, but you're not sure where the address is. Anyway, Revelation 12:11. And I heard the loud voice in heaven saying, Father God, talking to us, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accusers of the brethren have been thrown down. Have been thrown down. That's past tense, guys. Sometimes we live as if that's not completed, but it is. It's past tense. Have been thrown down. He who accuses them day and night before the Lord. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And quite often when I quote this verse, I stop there. But the phrase that the Lord gave me this morning, they have conquered and they did not love their lives so as to shy away from death. Now, last night I was with Charlotte of Bush Telegraph, and unfortunately we were informed of the 70 folks, Christians, in the Congo who were beheaded just this last week. They did not shy away unto death. But it's the same Christ that lives in them, is the same Christ that lives in Pastor Walt, that for 50 years gets up every morning, drives a bus, and calls people unto the Lord. So I just want to encourage all of you that no matter how old you are or how young you are or what you're doing, it's the Lord's call. And if you answer that call, he's going to sustain you and walk with you through whatever you're going to face. Thank you.
Don't run off. I want to ask you a question. What do you think when you see all those crazy people coming in down there?
Except for the grace of God, there go I. Yeah.
You know, maybe you could, if some people would like to come down with you, just check it out. You can just sit and watch to see. Yeah. There's something and by the way, I think if somebody did that, they'd come back and they'd start praying. Yeah. That's the key, I believe. Now, you got to see it. You don't have to. Once you see something like this, it seems like God puts that in your heart. You start, God, save them. You think God could do that?
Oh, absolutely. We have a tendency when we don't know what goes on at the soup kitchen or other places to think it's some big, huge ministry that, you know, I'm not qualified to do. Well, that's true. None of us are qualified, so the Lord qualifies us. But if it's nothing more than handing someone from the street a napkin and a fork, you can do it. And it's such a blessing. It's more of a blessing. Dale went with me last Wednesday, and she just was raving all the way home as we were driving home that what a blessing it was just to be able to serve someone else.
Amen.
God bless you.
How many believe God will make a way to use you? He chose us. You didn't choose me. He says, I chose you and ordained you, appointed you to what? Go forth and bring forth fruit. And your fruit shall remain, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you.
You know what we need to ask God? God, give us souls. Give us disciples. Let your Spirit, give us your Spirit to guide us. I'm very impressed about this church. I'm serious. Man, I haven't felt, it's just, it's alive. And maybe, somebody might want to come down and see this or whatever. Or maybe you can just think. We go to Mill Avenue on Friday night. Anybody know what Mill Avenue is in Tempe? All the college kids play. I got a bottle in one hand and a sign in another. Jesus loves you. Stand on the street corner, 7th Street and Mill, and everybody comes back and says, Jesus loves you. And you'd be utterly amazed. Do you love Jesus? You'd be utterly amazed in the people, how they react. Amen? Then we go to Scottsdale. Now, I'm sure there's nobody in here that's been to Scottsdale. Camelback and Scottsdale Road, where all those bars are. Anybody? No, don't. And man, when they just had this golf tournament, there's probably thousands of people out there. These are high rollers. We got our mini PA out there. We're preaching Jesus. We got a man carrying a cross. We got a whole bunch of us with our signs. And by the way, the bars, their walls are about this high. And it's all open. Man, we're getting right in the middle of Jesus loves you. Amen. And some of the people say, yeah. So I had on my sign. And I had on my Bible. I said, get somebody to take a picture. I don't know. What? Just pray for us then. Or just whatever God's called you to do. I believe just a prayer, just a submission to God. God, I'll do what you want me to do if I know it's you. It's that simple. How many will do that? Amen? Okay. I'm going to let my wife kind of share a little bit.
I'm not going to take any time. I just want to say that the people we're dealing with are truly misfits. And the ones we do have in our program, these are people that you would never. But what's so awesome is that we don't only teach them the Word of God, but they're out there doing and working out the streets. Amen. But one thing we do, and I'm going to do this real quickly because there's time's running out. After I teach on Tuesday nights or after I teach during the week, I do this. I have them repeat after me. This comes from drinking from the well. So I want you to follow along with me. Okay? You can repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for your work on the cross. All my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for your work in the resurrection. Because you live, I too shall live. Thank you, Lord, for energy. Empowered by your Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord, for your lordship. I belong to you. Nothing comes to me that doesn't first pass through you. And thank you, Lord, for your love. Nothing, nothing can separate me from your love. Amen, amen. Your love, you can go out and go get them.
I just had a thought. You know why I like your pastor? Because he's a golfer. And he wants to go play golf with me. Now, do you think that this little competition could be? In other words, we ain't perfect. We're just people. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you. You guys have been supporting us for years. I guess years ago, we were in the Dream Center for a long time. By the way, we're not there anymore. But that has nothing to do with it. It's God putting us where He wants to put us. And He's always working in us. I don't know if you catch that right. Romans 8:28. Anybody know what that is? Listen to this. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord to them that are called according to His purpose. So no matter what's happening in your life, ouch, oof, oh God. You ever scream at God? Oh God. He's got it all working together for good. God bless you, Pastor.
When does them become us?
See, I like foreign missionaries because I know I can't go to Barcelona. But missionaries that are a few miles south of here, when do they become us? Who's the next Randy? Sitting in prison today with no one to come see him. I'm not saying God's going to call all of us, but I think probably one or two of us could go serve food to people and give a testimony. Where's Tony? Tony's there preaching on Saturday on the street. You could go with Tony. You don't even have to do it by yourself. See, this Americans get like, we get nervous about this stuff. It's like, can we just give an offering? Can we just, Pastor, could you just let us give an offering and move on? And I'm going to give you that opportunity. But church on the street, you have no permanent dwelling at the moment. Is that right? We're working. But you're looking for something. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. They still need a facility. And so the Lord's going to help us and direct us to do that. I'm not asking you all to become street preachers, but if you'll come back tonight, if you dare come back tonight, I will have something for you from the Word of God that will help us. All right? We're going to take not a love offering, because I don't care if you love them or not, but we take a missionary offering today for church on the street. And then when we're done taking that offering, I'm going to ask the Rattays and Randy and his wife, Anna, come, and I want Katie to come, because the same Jesus that saves down there is the same Jesus that saves in Barcelona. It's the same Jesus. Furthermore, He's the same Jesus that will save your neighbor. Does your neighbor have a full witness of Jesus Christ? The person you live next door to. Do you know if they've ever had a witness of Jesus Christ? If you don't know that, do you think Jesus will hold you accountable? Okay, let's move on. You're looking at me like, stop. Just stop right now. Don't push me out of my comfort zone. I like going in my garage and shutting my garage door and being home. I like that. I don't want to be mixing with my neighbor. Even though they have parties over there that would reveal to you that they don't know who Jesus is. So it's kind of serious business. We bark about Jesus is coming soon. And I think He is. So that means the time is short. And if you wait, I heard one guy tell me, well, I'm going to go in the ministry once I retire. What is that? It's like, well, did He call you to the ministry now? It's like, well, yeah, well. And that's you and me. Well, you know, I'm so busy. I got this to do and I got that to do. And I understand that. I'm not trying to push you into anything. But I'm asking you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit. And say, Lord, would you ever say, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men.
Listen, it doesn't take a great deal of talent to reach in your pocket and hand someone a track, but it does take guts. Holy Ghost guts. And I think we've lost a lot of that over the years. This Holy Ghost guts. We got to get the 84-year-old in the room to remind us. Let's have some Jesus boldness. All right. I'm not preaching. I'm calling the ushers down here. Please give your offering to North Valley Assembly. We'll give them one check. If you're going to zell it to the number in your bulletin. Lord, I hesitate to even think what this city would be like without the ministry that you've had with many churches, but specifically the church on the street that has always met those that are at their lowest point, those that have been thrown out of their homes, those that are addicted to drugs, can't get off of them, those that live for their next drink, those that are not mentally stable, and yet you died on that cross for every last one of them. Every last one of them, you died on that cross. You put a measure of faith in every person. So if they want to get saved, they can get saved. Hallelujah. Lord, let us be brothers, linking arms for this great cause to get Jesus to people that don't know him or may have known him and wandered away. Let us be brothers in this, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.